Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We are here on the air with Dr. Pat Allen. And tonight we are going to be answering some questions that have come in to Dr. Allen through her Facebook page. And we'll be taking your calls. You can call in at 323-203-0815. And Dr. Allen, you're on the air.
Hello.
How are you doing tonight, Dr. Allen?
I'm doing fine. I like to answer questions.
Fabulous. So I want to start with one because we've got a really great one. And it's from a fan. And this is what she has to say. I have read all of your books and I've listened to all your tapes. I've watched all your DVDs. I love your wisdom and I'm so thankful for it. Your more spiritual guidance and your opinion is extremely important to me. I'm a feminine energy woman. I'm passive, respect, and I'm available to receive. I like masculine energy in my men who give, protect, and cherish. I'm 34. I'm practicing art. I'm not interested in being a career woman. I take care of my body. I dress nice. I'm following all of your advice. I'm attracted to men, and I'm going on dates. My only problem is I don't want children. Even though I think they're adorable, I just don't want them. Right now, I'm very happy, and I love life. I had a rough childhood, and I'm worried that's what scared me from having children. Will I regret this in the future?
No.
She don't think she will. Okay. And here's what she says. Is it possible to marry a masculine man and be happy without children?
If he's got kids with someone else.
Yes. Okay.
It's more risky, for example, she's 34, to marry a man 30 years old who is not at that moment wanting the responsibility of kids, but probably will between around when he gets 35 to 40 years old.
Okay.
So it would be better if she were to be with the man who did his babyfying early, and she's a darling stepmom.
So essentially, we're talking about marrying a man late 50s, early 60s?
Well, it depends on when. You know, there are people, I married at 19.
Right.
So depending on what age.
Right. So if he already has children.
Yeah, if he's already got kids, that could be an additive. It could make a nice family situation, but not a permanent responsibility.
Okay. So my question is this then. If she doesn't want the responsibility of children,
mm-hmm.
and he's a single parent and he has custody, do you think that would be an issue? I think that might be an issue.
I know, but I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of it that the normal loop is the mother gets the custody, you know, primary custody, and the father has visitation rights.
So she might be looking
yeah.
for a focus with that respect.
Right. But it isn't required. There are women and men that do not want their own children.
Right.
You know, they might be willing to be a stepmom or a stepdad.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is you have to have three things to be with anybody.
Okay.
Chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Compatibility.
Right.
And good communication. So chemistry, I can't do anything about chemistry. That's a DNA issue where your body likes his body. Even we think you're weird for liking each other. You know, compatibility is like, chemistry is body to body, and compatibility is mind to mind. And that includes moral code, that includes philosophy, maybe politics, maybe religion. Do you see?
Yeah, I do.
So it's mind to mind. But the most telling thing is communication. That's why I'm a transactional analyst, a marriage family counselor.
Right.
And the reason for that is beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Mm-hmm. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank, making and keeping money.
Mm-hmm.
At the doctor's office, being healthy.
Yes.
And in every single relationship, especially erotic ones.
Yes.
So if you've got all three of those, you've worked out a deal.
Right.
And that deal may or may not include kids.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, to Dr. Allen's fan out there, I hope you're listening tonight, and I hope Dr. Allen has answered your question. If she hasn't answered it fully or you have other questions that would follow up, you can reach us at 323-203-0815. And Dr. Allen, you're talking about chemistry, compatibility, and communication. Mm-hmm. And I just got a message that there are only 10 spots left for your seminar, which is coming up May 24th in Long Beach. That's it, 10 spots. So,
and it's called Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication.
It is. That's a full-day seminar. And again, Sunday...
9 to 5.
Yeah. Sunday, May 24th, Holiday Inn, Long Beach. And you can sign up for that at www.wantistore.com. So that is a really big deal, the chemistry, the compatibility, and the communication.
Right.
So we also have the DVD on that. If you can't come to the seminar, you might want to try out that DVD because it's fantastic, the information.
My voice will be vibrating through the universe forever.
Forever, which is fantastic. So the next question we have, which is a great question too, is I don't know how to fight with my mate. They always win. What am I doing wrong? Why am I unable to stand up for what I believe in? How can I do it? What can I say? How can I talk?
Well, here's really, this is a politically incorrect statement that I always like to make. Equality in communication in a romantic relationship is competition. I think. I want. I feel. I don't want. Those skills are extremely good at work. That's what Women's Lib got women, the ability to be equal. We're not quite equal in pay yet, but we're going to get there. And that means at work, it's okay to say, I think, what do you think? I want, what do you want? Let's make a deal.
Right.
And in a non-sexual, non-romantic relationship, it's okay to be friends. What do you feel like doing? I don't know. What do you feel like doing? Well, let's flip a coin.
Right.
But when you're in a romantic relationship, and that means as soon as you feel the chemistry, which is about 3 minutes
right.
in meeting, okay, I maintain, and I am, like I said, my doctoral work is androgynous, semantic realignment, like your tires. What happens to your tires if you don't realign them? You wear them out
right.
too early. So what I found out, and I'll give the lineage, way back in Freud's time, there was a guy named Alfred Korzybski in the 1930s, and he was an engineer of the mind and talking. He's my hero, and he wrote General Semantics. See, the difference between a linguist and a semanticist is a linguist studies languages. But a semanticist like I. Hayakawa
mm-hmm.
and Alfred Korzybski
yes.
and Eric Byrne
yes.
and Pat Allen,
yes.
we deal with the quantum mechanics of words, the particles of words. Therefore, in a romantic, sexual, erotic relationship
mm-hmm.
or in a parent-child or child-parent or sister-sister, wherever love is, mm-hmm. whether it's erotic or whether it's just love.
Platonic
complementary, love. Well, you don't say platonic between sisters and brothers.
Right.
You know, it's just not a romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So in a love-based, particularly erotic-based relationship, complementary communication, the waltz of communication, is my doctoral work.
Right.
It's trademarked as androgynous semantic realignment.
That's right.
And generically called want training. People say, well, what does want mean? It means getting what you want and getting rid of what you don't want. And so in that case, it would do this darling woman well to know that most men, according to the Harvard study in the 90s, want to be respected.
Yes.
And when they're romantic, they want a good woman
mm-hmm.
who is sensual and sexual, because they really are tired chasing and beating the bushes, period.
Right.
So they want to be respected, and here are the tools of respecting a man that I pretty much guarantee, since I got my doctoral in 81, and that's a bit a while ago, and I'm still making money off of it, and my book, Getting to I Do, and the one, Staying Married and Loving It, which is really one big book cut in half.
That's right.
That's the way publishers do it. But that's, you know.
Right.
Period. Here's what you say. If you want to be cherished by your man, don't ask him what he feels unless he's puking or bleeding. Because his job in life is, by the age of 10, pulling away from mother figures.
Right.
And becoming a man.
Right.
Don't kiss me, Mom and Aunt Jane. You know, don't touch a boy's body without his permission.
Right. So, after 10 years old.
Yeah. Anyway, what you best do is always ask a man, what do you think? What do you want? What's your opinion? What's your suggestion? And what can I do to help you achieve it? How can I help you do
right.
it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if he inadvertently asks you what you think, because I want him to always tell you what he thinks, what he wants, his opinion, his suggestions, his ideas, and then saying, how do you feel about it, honey?
Right,
and
right.
you respond to him in the following way. I feel good about that. Or I don't feel good about that. But you never say, I feel that you're a cotton-picking control freak. Because the natural nature of a good man is competitive, conquering, and controlling.
Right.
They're juiced up on testosterone, and they're going for it. So with that in mind, that's their nature. Now, if you want a wuss, fine. But then you're going to be the man, and he's going to say to you, what do you want to do, honey? Do you want me to wear the red shirt or the blue shirt?
Right.
And what time do you want? You see what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So I'm going to just ask a friendly question of the ladies out there. How many of you are sick of polite men who don't ask for what they want? So when he inadvertently asks you what you think, tell him what you feel. I feel good about that.
Right.
Do you see?
Or I don't feel good about
it. I don't feel good about that. So with that, the first tool of the five tools,
right.
which is androgynous semantic realignment, the first tool has to do with, you've got to decide whether you want to be cherished or respected. Because if you want both, you're going to have a competitive war. And I'm going to make money, and that's okay with me. But I'm working like a bunny rabbit to download my problem people. So
right.
with that in mind, that's the first tool. Don't ask a man what he feels. Ask him what he thinks.
Right.
And when he asks you what you think, tell him what you feel. The only time that I like a married or a romantic couple to be equal is if they have a business together.
Right.
Then I want them to make an appointment to go to the desk or the kitchen table and do business.
Right.
But do not talk business in your married or relationship life. Because you're going to destroy your sexual chemistry.
Yeah, the intimacy of it.
It's going to go.
Yeah.
Second tool. Now, how could I possibly be a female chauvinist? and not give women the right to ask for what they want, say what they think, give an opinion, give a suggestion. I couldn't do that.
Right.
Okay. Here's what you do, ladies. When you have an idea, when you want to think, teach, preach, bitch, moan, question your man, make an appointment. Now, is that making a permission? No, it's making an appointment. Honey, I have an idea of where to go, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and when and who to do it with. When would it be convenient for you to listen to me, hopefully today?
Yeah.
Now, why today? Because when you go to sleep, you REM sleep cycle it, and you're going to paper shred it.
Right.
But you're going to turn into a pile of manure that will eventually blow up in your face, and you'll have to come smitten to my office to learn these tools.
Right.
So I'm just giving them to you, and if you download them, you've got the best of my business. Well, not all the details, but that's good. So when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question a man, make an appointment. And if there are any men out there, when you want to bitch, moan, teach, preach, or question, you see the difference?
Yeah.
We do not want to be mama, and we don't want them to dump their pukey feelings on us without an appointment.
So it's turnabout's fair play.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
That's
so
the
what
second
is,
tool.
What is good for the goose is, in fact, good for the gander.
Right. The third tool, how to fight.
Yeah.
Ooh, how to fight. Now, if you've got to call the cops, a doctor, and a lawyer, do it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But if you don't have to call the cops, a doctor, and a lawyer, and it's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, you've got to make that right.
Right.
And that means, honey, you had every right to say that. You notice I'm gritting my teeth.
I do.
Honey, you had every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm not comfortable with that. I really don't want to experience this. What do you think about not doing it that way and doing it this way? And what, pray tell, can I do to help you do it so that I'm comfortable?
Okay.
Do you see?
I do see.
And when he's mad at you,
yeah,
I want him to say, you have every right to say, think, be, feel, or do that, but I think it would be good for you to stop doing this or to start doing that. How do you feel about respecting my request? It's moral, it's ethical, and it's legal. The more you respect me, the more I feel cherished, and the more I'll give that to you.
Right. Okay.
Period.
That makes great sense.
That's a third tool. Fourth tool. 90% of all communication is nonverbal. If any of our listeners have seen What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah.
That's a movie about what I'm talking about.
Right.
And another one, the movie Gaslight.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Gaslight. Quest for Fire.
Oh,
Gaslight.
Yeah.
Gaslight's a good one. Ingrid yeah. Bergman just shows my age.
It's
anyway,
a great movie. It's classic.
It is, right. Except... And it's about sociopathic behavior,
yes,
which is a good movie. Anyway, but Quest for Fire demonstrates the beginnings of language and humanity way, way back, 45 to 65,000 years ago, when we were just learning how to communicate with words.
Right.
Do you know that women were the ones that started language?
I would not be surprised by that.
We have the big corpus callosum.
Right.
And we have a natural affinity to make sounds.
Yes.
Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so what men did when they were Cro-Magnons, that's where we descend from, they went out to hunt and bring home the meat.
Right.
And while the men were gone bringing home the meat, the women were designing words and symbols.
Right.
And sign language.
Right.
And when the guys came home, the guys painted those bison on the walls of the caves.
Right.
The newest cave paintings have horses.
They're fabulous. It's fabulous to see them, too.
And you can see the upgrading from bison to those. So what do you do when tones of voice, gestures, postures, and facial expressions are the way you're communicating? Here's what you say. Honey, I sense by the look on your face you're upset about something. Am I right?
Yes.
When would it be convenient for you to talk to me about it today, hopefully? Or, darling, I believe by your body language and your gesturing, the bird particularly, is indicating you're angry or upset about something. Am I right? No. Oh, okay. Well, if you ever are, please feel free to bring it up. Okay?
Right. Oh, we've got a caller, Dr. Allen. You want to take a call?
Yep.
All right.
Hey. And I'll remember
where we are.
The other, we did three tools.
Three tools. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question for us tonight?
Yes, I do. I'm surprised I got through, so I'll try to gather all my thoughts here. Dr. Allen, I've talked to you a couple times about my daughter and about relationships, but I was calling you about a seven-month relationship that I've been in with a man, and we were exclusive, and things were going along, I mean, pretty great. We seemed to work through some problems and some troubles, but a couple things kept coming up about making plans to do things together and who should make plans. And
well, who is the leader of the relationship? Who's the man? Who's the one that says, I want? How do you feel about it? Are you the respected one or the cherished one or both?
Well, I was wanting him to take the lead, so I was being
Can't say, honey, I want you to be the leader, because that makes you the leader. Your job is to say, I don't want to be the leader, and I'm not going to make the plan. So tell me, do you want to be respected for your leadership, or do you want to be cherished for your followership?
No, I want to be cherished, and I did ask him to make plans, which was a suggestion you gave me. So
I think that's
fine. I did
do
that.
And did he do it?
No, I kind of like kept getting excuses. Well, it's winter, there's not that much to do, and then...
You know what he's saying?
Like,
he's saying, I don't want to be the leader. My mother raised me by being cherishing, and I am not accustomed to earning respect. I want you. See, man, if a man tells you, honey, I'm going to have back surgery, and I want you to go to the office and run the books and see to the company, are you female when you do what he asks, or are you male?
I'm female when he asks
okay.
me to do
well, things. Your man said, I don't want to be the leader, socially at least, and therefore... Do you want to keep him and be the leader? Honey, I think it'd be a great idea if we went to the zoo. How do you feel about that?
I'm on the fence about that. I'm older. I'm 45 and he's almost 50. So I am trying to, because I think I love him a lot and there's a lot of great things.
But love,
I think
wait
we
a
ran
minute.
Into
wait
this
a minute.
Block.
Wait
this
a minute. Arc. Wait a minute. Love means you accept him. Do you like him as your wife?
As my wife?
As the one you
I
cherish.
I should maybe be socially in charge, but I don't want to be financially in charge and in charge of everything.
Now, are you, you're not married to him?
No. But
okay.
I'm saying in a relationship, maybe taking charge socially is okay, but I don't want to take charge of everything.
He never said that. He said he didn't want to be the social director.
But I don't know that I want a wife.
I got news for you. A wife is a person who wants to be cherished. A man of 50 years old is starting to be female, and he needs to be cherished as well as respected.
Right, and we were running into lots of roadblocks, I think, because of I was trying to be passive, and I think he was also, like you said, trying to be passive. And
I
we
know
weren't
that.
Able to...
You girls have to make a decision, and since I'm only talking to the biological girl, I want to ask you, are you willing to lose him? Is he 51% valuable?
Well, he is, but we got in heated arguments about it, and he kind of just...
I hear
you know,
a man who socially wants to be cherished. That's not immoral, unethical, or illegal. You are the social director, or this relationship is going down.
Well, I think it already did go down, and so that's kind of why we kept running into roadblocks and
well,
not being able to get through it.
I am the engineer on the construction crew. When was the last time he asked you out, if he ever did ask you out?
Well, the last time we talked was on Friday, and out of frustration, we kind of decided to hold off for a couple weeks and see if we want to talk after that.
Well, I've got news for you. If you don't get what I'm saying, it doesn't matter whether you contact him. I already hear that he wants you to be the social director. I can understand that you don't want to be the financial provider, nurse, and purse, but that isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about the social director. So if he delegates you as the social director, what exactly is the problem with you saying, hey, there's three movies I'd like to see. Which one would please you most?
Hello?
Yeah, I want to know.
Hold on, Carl. We got a problem here. Just one second. All right. There we go. Go ahead, Dr. Allen.
No. Do you want to be the delegated social director? I didn't ask you to be the financial provider. He didn't either.
Are you there, caller?
Yes, but I just called in. I wasn't listening to the show because I couldn't hear the show on my phone. But I think you guys might be asking a question to someone else.
Yeah, or, I think we are. I think something happened to our last caller. I think the call dropped. I'm sorry about that.
Well, all I can say is for those of you that are listening is that when a man delegates, when he says, I want you to do that, yes, he didn't do the technical Pat Allen thing of how do you feel about that because he doesn't know it. I would love to get him on the phone with her, and then I teach them both how to communicate to each other. I'm totally open to two people on the phone.
Okay, caller that we were talking to before, if you heard that and you're willing to do that, you could call back in. Caller that we have on the line now, do you have a quick question?
I don't think it's quick, but I've been having a lot of dreams about cats, and I wanted to see if she'd be interested in doing a dream analysis. If not, then I have another question in regards to relationships.
Well, let's do questions, and at the end of the question, we'll consider the dream. Depends on the questions are for information. The dream is wonderful for telling where you're at and where you're going and where you've been. So what's your question
first?
And then
if we don't have time for the dream, she may want to make an appointment, a private appointment with you.
Why not?
Yeah.
Call back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So we recently broke up, me and my boyfriend, and...
Were you the respected or the cherished?
I wish I was a cherished. I was really working on the tool to be a cherished.
Oh, very good.
Aggressively working on the tools to be cherished, the reason I stood with him for a whole year was because I could see him making changes. I mean, he even said, he goes, I've never thought anyone was worth changing for. And I think I could tell that the tools were working and I was liking it. I was enjoying the femininity, receiving, passive, available.
Okay.
And I was doing my best to respect him as well. And it was great. I was learning a lot.
Happened?
It was just fantastic.
What happened?
What happened is overall, and this is kind of a repeating pattern with me. Maybe it's my fault, maybe not. I don't know. I just want to learn what to do. What happened is I just didn't feel cherished. My feelings weren't cherished enough. And I sensed that he had a kind of like a jadedness with women. And but overall, I just think too that I wanted him to cherish my feelings for possibly the wrong reasons. Where I've heard you, Pat Allen, say that when you have a lot of issues, personal issues, and whether
right.
it's with you, my parents
or did you give him the daddy bill?
Possibly, yes. Okay, possibly I did. But
was your daddy home or was he gone?
My real dad.
Yeah, your real one.
My real dad was there, like, in a spiritual way, because he was a minister, but he was also an alcoholic and just, like, kind of like a failed minister. I hate to say that, but, like, failed
No,
minister.
I hear that. What I'm hearing is your dad had a good show to talk about, but he didn't demonstrate it, and therefore you're a fatherless daughter.
Yes, but okay. The good news is I had two stepdads that cherished my feelings a lot.
I think that's fine. but maybe you like giving the daddy bill to the men you're with as a way to pay back for the one you first had. How old were you when your daddy dropped out of your life?
11.
How long?
I was 11 years old.
Honey, anything under 8 is glued. It's already dented. I want you to read the book Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard, because
I have read that. And I wish, I know it impacts a lot of women, but it hasn't really impacted me.
But wait a minute. You had a man that you wanted to cherish you more than he wanted to cherish you. So he wasn't 51% valuable.
Right, but sometimes I blame myself and I don't know if I should blame myself, but...
No, but listen to me. When you pick a man that reminds you of your father in a negative way, that he didn't give strokes and he didn't give strokes, you're recapitulating the same scene over and over again. Like a drunk marries a drunk marries a drunk. When are you going to be with a man that may even terrify you, because he will love you more than you love him? He will control you. He will come after you. He will put you right where you belong, which means at his side, but he will want your respect. Have you ever been cherished by a real man? Not a man who's really a woman, a real man.
Yes, I have, and I mistake him for being weak and feminine.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I guess I have to chalk it up to inexperience. But he loved me. He cared for me. He gave to me. He was going to be a great provider. He proposed to me. He was funny. I think I was too familiar with not being...
We called that a norepinephrine addict. Do you know what norepinephrine is in England? It's called noradrenaline. Do you know what that is?
It's you get something. You said finally get something and then you don't want it.
You don't want it. And you know why? Because you're addicted to the pain of not getting what you want. So I want you to know that you have to find a man that you think is a cotton-picking wuss because he's stupid enough to love you. Do you see? And desensitized to that, because the truth of the matter is he's a real man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. He was. And I didn't realize he was at the time.
So are you willing to go and let yourself be courted by a real man instead of a man you feel comfortable with because he's just like dear old dad?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely willing to. And that's why I gave this guy a chance over and over and again, because it seemed like he would cherish my feelings, but I kept getting I think it was difficult for him to cherish my feelings. He didn't know himself.
I got news for you. He tried to obey you, didn't he?
I hope not.
I think so.
Because then that would be.
The word difficult only means he made an effort to obey you like he did with his mom.
Okay, I could see that could be a option, but with us, because I was being passive, available, and vulnerable a lot, I really think that just because I was using the tools, it was spiritually impacting him to want to do it on his own.
But he never got the job done.
Yeah, he never really got the job done. But this is where I don't know if I should blame myself or not, but I tend to get confused with this part, because I do happen to have a lot of hurt and pain from my mom, and she's really mentally ill, and my sister, she almost died this past year, blood clots, and then I just kind of got depressed too, because my mom is mentally ill, super depressed and suicidal and all this.
I feel like
that impacted my emotional state.
I got news for you. You're reading my material and you're talking to me, and God willing, I'll be on this station for a while. So why don't we grow up together? I'll be your mom. You be my kid.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I could appreciate that, because I feel like all of my emotional baggage ruined
it did.
My...
Wait a minute. You have an unresolved Electra complex, which means you didn't form a good relationship with your dad. And for that reason, stepdads at 11 don't work. You're already broken by right. that time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bummer.
Okay.
My stepdad was great. Uh-huh.
But he was too distant. That's too far.
Okay.
Okay.
Too much time had gone by.
Right. Right. All right.
Okay. All right. So,
all right, callers, so if you want to have Dr. if you want to talk to Dr. Allen privately about your what's going on with you, I'm going to give you the number that you can call to set up an appointment. And let me see. It is 949-723-0338. And you can talk to Dr. Allen about your dreams and things like that. Set a private appointment. Thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, Dr. Allen.
Now, the other two tools.
Yes.
Okay. Tool number three is the fighting one.
Right.
Okay. Tool number four is I sense, I think, I believe by the tone of your voice, the look on your face, your body language, and your gesture.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? No answer. They don't answer.
Right.
Passive aggressive.
Right.
Honey, you have every right not to say yes or no, but a non-answer is a negative answer. What can I do to help us do better?
Right.
Or what can I do to help us feel better, honey?
Okay.
Do you see?
That makes sense.
And the fifth tool is timeout. The timeout sign, the referee on the field.
Right.
Once you see that in your man or your woman, you say, what can I do right now to help us do better? That's a woman to a man.
Right.
What can I do to help us feel better? That's a man to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, today, there are more men with vaginas than ever before.
Right.
And there are more women with penises than ever before. So when I say man or woman, I'm talking about respect, cherishing.
So the energy.
Yes.
Right.
Quantum physics.
Right. The energy okay. of people.
That's right.
Okay. So, we have another question.
Okay.
And it is, I feel like I might be allowing sex too soon, and I need help understanding what I might be doing wrong. In my past two relationships, I've made sure to get the commitment of sexual and social exclusivity before intercourse. I've also asked the questions to ensure continuity and longevity. Is there a time period I should wait after obtaining those before having sexual intercourse? Also, I require STD testing and that I personally see the results.
I think that's fine. There's an issue that occurs if a girl is sensually, sexually stimulated before her first period.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real... I'm a certified sex addiction specialist, Harvard University Medical School of Addictions. I'm going to get to go there to get some CEUs at the end of this month.
That's right.
Yes.
You are going to Harvard.
Yes.
So exciting.
I did not attend Harvard. I was certified by the School of Addictions.
Right.
You know, I want to say that as a disclaimer. Anyway, Patrick Carnes is my supervisor, and he's the one that recommended me for the addiction specialist. With that in mind, if you sensually or sexually seduce a girl before her first period, you do brain damage.
Brain damage? What do you mean by that?
She makes too many dopamine receptors. Dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin are neurotransmitters that help the nervous systems, the neurons, connect to each other and
right.
pass the electrical message down.
Okay.
You see, we only rewire with anxiety. We do not rewire our brain doing puzzles.
Right.
It's got to be a little anxious. So if that happens to a girl, she becomes a horn dog.
So a sex addict.
She becomes a sex addict physiologically.
So
what these girls have to do is, number one, I love them, Arthur Janoff has a wonderful book about bad sex.
Okay.
And it's called The Biology of Love. Arthur Janoff, who did Primal Scream therapy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Powerful man. Still alive and working in Santa Monica.
Okay.
At a clinic. His clinic.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, since she's saying, I'm getting into trouble having premature sexuality. Now, here's what I say. No friendship advances past the first lay.
Right.
Men, young men, pre-45 to 50 men, want intercourse. They want in.
Right.
Okay? Because they're not on estrogen. They're on testosterone.
Right.
But when they get to be 45 to 50, they start moving over into estrogen, and then they bond to Miss Gold Digger Hardbody.
Right.
So younger men and older women are very sexually compatible.
Right.
But younger men and younger women are not sexually compatible unless the girl has been abused sexually, prematurely. Then she's as horny as any young stud.
Gotcha.
And for that reason, she will have sex, even if it's monogamous, continuous, and long-term, but she'll be too fast with it.
Okay.
So I recommend when I come across one of these darling women that they don't have intercourse until they get a promise ring.
Right.
So, my dear on the phone, whoever you are or whoever they are,
right.
Please, if you have premature intercourse with men, it may be that you have already got too many dopamine receptors going, and they all want to be fed dopamine. There are three sources of dopamine that are major.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, money, including gambling, robbery, and mind-altering chemicals, sugar, booze, drugs. And we make the drugs in our body. We make our own dopamine.
Right.
Now we can buy it in the form of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see?
Yeah.
And maybe you like jumping out of airplanes, skiing, whatever, but there are lots of ways to develop dopamine.
Right.
But the problem is that if you use that dopamine in the order of sex, and you're a young woman with a young man, there's too many horn dogs here.
Right. Too many horn dogs. I get that.
Now, here's what I want to say. Young men do not fall in love when they receive.
Right.
They fall in love when they give, protect, and cherish.
Right.
And women that give are masculine.
Right.
And they get themselves hurt.
Okay.
By doing this. So women really have the responsibility of manning the gate, which is, no, I'm not comfortable having intercourse. Hugging and kissing, him going down on you, you giving him a hand job, I could care less.
Right.
But intercourse, oral, anal, and vaginal, big thing different.
Yeah.
Do not do until you feel instinctively safe. And now that you know you don't feel good about what you've done sexually, don't do it that way.
Right.
Get a go steady, a promise ring that will slow him down and definitely slow you down from giving away the gold.
So basically, you're going to want to put on the brakes there until you reach a specific point in the relationship. If in fact that's what you're looking for.
The point is a ring on that funny finger.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be an engagement ring.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a wedding ring.
Right.
Depending on religion. I support people that buy the religious premise.
Right.
You see. But intercourse is God's and nature's way of bonding people together. But it doesn't work if you're not compatible and you're not communicating. So, ladies, we have the veto right.
Right.
They have the initiative right.
So, how can she do it? I mean, what can she say?
What she says is when he says, I want to go spend the weekend in Vegas. I want to make love to you, whatever. First of all, say thank you.
Right.
Thank you. That's very nice. You want to make love to me. I'm not having intercourse with anybody unless I have a promise ring on my finger.
Right.
Now, for a normal girl, she will say, I'm not comfortable having sex this soon. I don't feel safe.
Right.
But for a girl who's been prematurely stimulated, mm-hmm. her brain is a little damaged.
Okay.
And because of that, she lusts for the dopamine of sex like a man, like a boy, like a, you know.
So she has to really abstain, like any addict, from doing that.
Yes, she does.
From engaging in that behavior.
That's exactly right.
Right. So.
And my way of doing it is don't have intercourse without a ring on your finger, because a man, a boy, they won't put a ring on your finger just to get laid. There's too many people out there that are willing to lay them.
Right.
But she's asking the question, why am I getting into trouble? I've got the contracts.
Right.
Well, the contracts are Pat Allen, but the dopamine receptors, that's nature.
And the ring is symbolic.
And the ring is a protection,
mm-hmm.
a conscious protection that no casual sex for this woman because she can't handle it.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. So thank you for submitting your question, and I hope that gives you some insight. Once again, if you would like to call Dr. Allen and make a private appointment, you can do that. Dr. Allen does take private appointments, and you can reach her office at 949-723-0338. So, Dr. Allen, we're getting pretty close to being out of time.
Okay.
It goes fast, doesn't it?
Well, we can have that little lady call in with her dream.
I don't think we have time for that. I think
you don't think so? Okay.
No, but you know what? I see that the caller we lost earlier is calling in. Let's see if we can get to her for just a minute because
All right.
we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Go, go, go.
702 caller. Hello. You're back on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I got disconnected before.
All right. What is your final question statement?
Well, you were telling me that if I didn't be the social planner, the relationship was going to go down.
Well, and I hear it already went down. Well, can you not call up and say, I miss you, and I'm willing to be the social director?
Well, I hope I can, but if that's what you think I should do, I would do that. I was just confused if I had messed it up or if I should keep holding out waiting for him to plan.
I got news, dear. How long have you dated him?
7 months.
7 months, and he's still not the social director. I don't think he wants the job.
Right. So what was happening was because I'm really not a social director, but I'm willing to do that. So I was going out with my friends who planned things, and he was going out with his friends who planned things, and we were just running into a brick wall.
You were falling apart. Why not just...
Right.
You'd have three things that he can pick one from, whether it's movies or picnics or walking in the park, whatever it is. Give him a couple and let him pick the final one.
And so how do I mend this now?
You call him up and say, I want to talk to you about our relationship. Is it convenient now? What would he say?
He would probably say yes.
I really understand something. I learned it from my therapist. That I was trying to mold you into somebody I wanted you to be, and it was a mistake, and I miss you. I am more than willing to think of ideas for us to do. Are you willing to consider another run with me?
Okay, should I give him the time that he asked for? He said, well, maybe in a couple weeks after you get back from your Mexico trip, we can talk then if you're still thinking about me.
Then he's already set up. See how he is? He may not plan the social, but that's a man who built the bridge before it fell apart. Good for him.
All right.
Well, that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah, that was a great thing.
Because I was upset about it.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're out of time.
Was your mother a man, too?
Yes, she did it all on her own. I was raised with eight independent aunts.
I got news for you. How about you be a girl socially with this gentleman?
You mean be the boy socially so I make the social plan?
No, you be a girl because he said he wanted you to do it.
Okay.
Thanks, caller. We got to go. Dr. Allen, closing statement.
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Thanks for joining us tonight. You can follow us on Facebook. You know how to find her, Dr. Pat Allen. Go to our website and visit us there, www.drpatallen.com. Sign up for her fabulous seminar, www.wantistore.com. And check out the One Institute, wantinstitute.org. We love you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.